Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Minister John Richard, and this podcast is an account of this week's Bible study. I pray that it blesses and strengthens you in Jesus' name. If you are looking for more of the Word, or are searching for the notes that were used in this week's lesson, please feel free to check the links in the description. Enjoy the Bible study, and be blessed. Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer just saying thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for another opportunity to come before your throne of grace as a family and to give you praise. Heavenly Father, I ask that you sit me, JR, the man down, and that you, O Sovereign Lord, rise up big inside of me, proclaiming your word of truth and having your way in this meeting tonight. Lord, give us exactly what it is that you need to give us and open our hearts to be able to receive it. It's these things we thank you for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. So, for a Bible study, I have a pretty interesting and cool topic, at least I think, that I want to share with you guys tonight. And it really kind of stems from us using what we've been learning and a few cooking terms, because I really do love to cook. So for our lesson tonight, I'm simply entitling it, "It's Time to Cook." Now, when we say it's time to cook, or when we say something similar to it in a vein of when we think of sports, you know, like a lot of athletes, they'll make the cooking motion where they're like stirring a pot when they're on fire in a game. Well, for you and for me, pretty much the same thing. We go throughout this life and we experience these different things. We go through different tests, different trials, different tribulations, different storms, whatever point of life that God has us in at the moment. And according to the book of James, that when we go through these different things, through these turbulent times, that we should count all of it unto joy. Because when we are going through testings, when we're going through trials, when we can feel ourselves being tempted, whatever it may be that we're enduring at the moment, we can thank God because through these things, we have an opportunity for our joy to become perfected, an opportunity for our faith to grow, an opportunity for our trust to be deepened and to be even further rooted inside of who God is. And that is something truly to be grateful for. So with our term, "It's time to cook," we can adamantly say that we can take everything we've gone through, all the lessons we've learned, how to pray better, how to listen to God more adamantly, how to just be quiet at times, how to really be there for another person, all of these different things that we've been acquiring along our journey thus far, and then we can use it to actually begin this cooking process. I don't know who all actually cooks or whoever has really just cooked before, but when we cook, we always start with the first part of turning the fire on. You can't cook if you don't have fire. So in our case, when we turn the fire on, we activate our portion of the Holy Spirit. We begin to stir up, as the Bible says, inside of ourselves, the gifts and talents that God has given us. All of us have been given a gift or the ability to be able to pray, to commune with God. We stir that up. We light the fire. We begin to talk to God. We begin to spend time with the Lord via prayer or studying the word. The fire is now on. The next thing we do is that in order to cook, we have to put some sort of heat resistant instrument upon that fire. We typically use pans or pots. In our case, since we're cooking in the spirit, we would use, what would we use? Let's really think about this. We would use our relationship with God. We'll go with that. Our faith, our trust. It is constantly going through a fire. It's constantly being put on a fire. Not to destroy it, not to burn it, not to break it, but to temper it. So in our life as we cook, we temper our faith through the storm. We temper everything that we go through by placing this pan or our faith or our trust in God. And the reason why we can compare our faith to a pan or to a pot is because when you place it on the stove, you have the utmost faith that it is going to allow you to complete the task at hand that you're setting forth to do with it. In this case, since we began praying to start the fire, and now that our faith is the pan or the pot of which that we're putting everything that we're trying to accomplish inside of on the fire, we now have an expectancy or a hope that whatever we do next, God is going to be the one to carry it out. He is going to be the one to take what we're giving him or that we're preparing for him so that it can go out and bring us back a good result, just like the the book of Hebrews says, that we can do this and we can have an expectancy. So now that we've started the fire, now that we've put our pot on there, we need to actually begin to cook something. And the thing that we cook, the thing that whatever we're going to prepare, that's usually one of the most important parts, because we can pray about anything. We can pray about all things. We know that if we're anxious about something, we can give it to God. That in whatever situation that we pray, we can go speak to our Father, and then he will give us his peace, which surpasses all understanding. We can ask for wisdom and he will give it just to give it, because the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that if we pray for wisdom, he will very lovingly give it out to us, because wisdom is the act of taking the knowledge that you have and being able to put it to work for you, being able to use it to make some important decisions, being able to use it to help get you through some sticky situations. It takes a wise person when they're angry to begin to pray instead of flying off the handle and acting according to their anger. So the thing that we can cook in this situation, now that we're lit the fire with prayer and that we've put our faith or our trust on the stove to be our frying pan, it's that we can put anything we want in there. We can put our ambitions. We can put our hopes, our dreams. We can put the things that plague us. We can put, you know, the different loved ones in our lives, these different issues and situations at hand, because what we do in this cooking process of faith, when we put it in the pot, when we put it in the pan to begin to serve it up to God, we do that thing that we've been talking about for a good portion of this year now. And that's just taking all of the frustration out of our hands, taking the job that belongs to our Father and placing it back in his capable hands by letting him be the one to show us the way. He's the one that has the plan, which is for good and not for evil in our lives. And so if we were to take everything that bothers us or makes us happy or things that we're hopeful for or whatever it may be, and we give that back to God, well, then we begin to really work with something. Because I'm coming to the Lord with prayer, saying, Father, I am acknowledging you in this area of my life. And as we grow, as we go throughout this sanctification process, as we continue to walk this Christian journey, we keep going through more tests and trials and storms and tribulations, whatever God has on the docket for us to be able to trust him in a different area of our lives that we maybe haven't been trusting him just yet. Now, trust can look like any number of things. It can be a myriad of things. It could be whether trusting that person that you haven't been able to trust anymore, even though they actually have turned over a new leaf to the glory of God, because we as people cannot change on our own. It's to just throw caution to the wind and you stop trying to figure it out and playing God, trying to make a door for yourself to walk through, even though all we're good at is running into a solid wall, and just letting God have that area of your life. I know it's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot simpler than you know, just doing the thing, but we can trust God to not only guide us, but to get us through. So in this cooking process, and cooking isn't a long process. After you throw something in the skillet, you just have to make sure it doesn't burn. But in this instance of a spiritual cooking session that we have, it's that when once we give something to God, that's not our problem to worry about if that thing will burn. Because once we've given said thing to God, once we begin to pray, once we put our faith behind it, trusting that God will take whatever we've brought to him to give us some form of an answer back, whether it's the exact result we asked for, something in the ballpark, but better than what we could have hoped or asked for, according to his word, something entirely different because we honestly don't know how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us on our behalf and unctions us in the proper direction of prayer. Whatever it may be, God is the one leading and guiding this metaphorical cooking process that we're talking about. Because everything that we do when we're guided by the Holy Spirit, everything that we do when God has given his okay, you can go ahead and do this thing, it's all backed by him. All through his power, because the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not me who's doing the thing, but it's God that's doing the thing. So this cooking session of ours that we have, it's one that we refine just like actual cooking. When you first start, you're not that great at it. And you feel a little defeated at times, but you're excited because now you've done something that you haven't been able to do before. And even for master chefs, no matter how many times you do a thing, you can always do it better. And that's the fun part of a lot of the meticulous things that we do as people. Prayer doesn't have to seem like an arduous task. It doesn't have to seem like something that, oh, I have to go pray about this. No, it can be a very fun thing. It can be a thing to help relieve your stress. It can be a way for you to just spend some quality time with your Father, because that's one of the main reasons why he instituted it in the first place. But it can also be a place of relief. It can be a place of healing. Prayer can be so many different things in your life that for this particular lesson, I don't really have one scripture to give you or a list that we normally do because, I mean, there are just too many. But in all things that we do here in our Bible study, it's all led by the Lord himself. There's never a plan truly when we come to Bible study in ours. It's just that if the Lord gives me scriptures, I give you those scriptures and I let him be the talking points. In cases like this, well, you've been here before. He'll just let flow whatever needs to flow. And for us in this cooking process, because it's been something that I've really been thinking about throughout the course of this week, and especially very heavily last night and this morning, it's that we as Christians sometimes, we feel too daunted. And what I mean by that is, We feel like we're constrained to a thing, that prayer has to be this mundane thing, that reading the scripture has to be a task instead of something that you can actually enjoy. I was talking to my mom about it a few days ago, and we were talking about the scripture and that when we read it, sometimes you can just laugh at stuff. Some things that happen in scripture, it's honestly funny because it was like, why would you do that? You know, or some things can be very, I guess, like exciting to say, because the Bible, it doesn't just teach us what God expects from us, what he wants for us, the promises, the gifts, the blessings. It's also a book of history. It has great action in it. It's a romance book from God to us, telling us how much he loves us. From a father to his children. I mean, it's a wonderful read. When we study, it doesn't just have to be this mundane thing, but it can be a very enticing experience. Okay, I'm going to read the Bible today because what I read yesterday really had me at the edge of my seat. And God is just so amazing like that. So in our little cooking process that we have, and honestly, this wasn't meant to be a long lesson, just something to really, you know, help you think about things from a different perspective, because that's the namesake of this ministry. But do things with a different outlook. One of the plans I read recently that I completed was reaffirming that in everything that we do, we should honestly be grateful to God, minus the situation. Because if everything is going bad in your life at the moment, and I can mean literally everything, we have God to thank regardless, because we're still here. If things are bad, if things are not going the way we may want them to go, that's cool, because we're here to fight another day. This is a race, and more so the race that we run is a marathon, meaning it's a long thing. We're in it for the long haul. The finish line, though we know where it is, it'll take a while to get there. We don't know how long it'll take to get there. But as we run this race, we run it with an expectancy, with a blessed assurance, knowing that God can, is, will, and has already done the work for us. All we have to do is to trust Him to start the process. The hardest part of anything that we as people can do is starting that new task. Whether it's a new job, trying to get back into the gym, get into the swing of working out again, raise a child, start a family, whatever it is, the scariest, hardest part is always starting it. And then as people, the thing that really just kind of shakes you to your boots at time is the thought of failing it. Well, let me tell you something very special about this Christian journey of ours. Once you start it and the stance of your heart changes to say that I want to please God, that's the stance of your heart. And throughout your journey, you have some human uh-ohs. You make a mistake. You do the wrong thing. You know, stuff happens. We're not perfect. We tend to fall off the bandwagon sometimes. We fall by the wayside. But the thing of it is that when our heart stance is always on that, I want to please you, Father. I want to do better. I don't want to keep making these same mistakes over and over again. I want to be who you've designed for me to be. I want to get closer to you, to learn more of you, to be able to reciprocate this love that you've given me to the next person so that they don't have to feel alone, because no one is alone when they have you, Jesus. It's just not possible. Aside from you, Lord, who is a present help always, we have a family of faith, which is big and just, you can't even put a number on how many of us there are that are here to be there for one another. So when we feel like we're going to fail, when we feel like we're going to mess up, we don't really have to worry about that so much, because that's the enemy trying to sow seeds of discord in your life. But God doesn't work that way. He isn't there telling you that you're going to mess up or you're going to fail in with me. Because that's not true. When we accept Christ, when we start walking with the Lord Jesus, failure is no longer an option, just like NASA. It's not on the table anymore. He's already won. The victory is yours through Him. Whatever temptations you're going through, He has a way out for you. All you have to do is trust in Him, and He will give you the strength to resist it. While you're walking toward your deliverance, your victory, while you're walking toward it, you can grab other people. Just God is so amazing in this, right? That this little cooking process of ours that starts with a simple prayer can lead us down such a marvelous and wondrous journey to where we can actually fulfill the role that God has designated for us to be a light on a lampstand so that people can see. Actually see, they're not running around in the dark chasing a bag, but that they have a true object, a true goal, a true ambition in this life that they can carry out. And that is to get closer to the one true God whose name is Jesus, to spread His love to any and everybody. Jesus died once for all nations, for all colors, for all whatever. God knows exactly what we are, what we're capable of, the dumb things we decide to go do, the cliffs that we'll happily jump off because somebody else did it, But he died for each and every one of us. He didn't care about skin color. He didn't care about nationality. In this day and age where people get persecuted so much for sexuality, God died for them too. No one is exempt from God's love. He died for everyone, okay? Just the simple fact of it all. The only requirement to get saved is that you be a human being. And I'm just saying that in case it's not clear enough. To have a heart that's contrite and meek and lowly enough to receive his word and to just say the simple things. Lord, I acknowledge that I was wrong. I'm a sinner and I don't want to keep being a sinner. I want to do right. I see what you did for me back on Calvary all those years ago. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I want to do better. I want to be better. It's just that simple. So again, the whole point of tonight is just to really shake up the way you look at things. Prayer is not mundane. It's not a task. It is a gift. It is a blessing. It's like being able to pick up the phone and call your parents. That's a gift. Reading the Bible is an eventful thing. You can sit down, light a candle, put some gospel on real low and crack it open. I don't know what part of the Bible you're in, but it's either it's an action story. It's a love story. It is a psychological thriller. It is a horror movie sometimes for some of the people that just got the bad end of what God was coming through to deliver his justice. It is redemption. It's everything. It's called the greatest story ever told for a reason. But I say all of this to simply remind you that one God loves you. And that love is agape. It does not waver. It does not change. It does not look at you funny. It does not call you names. It does not go behind your back. You don't have to worry about it leaving you. It is there for you always. God is love, and his love that resides inside of you, if you've been saved, is there permanently. Nothing in the book of Romans, in this life, above it, below it, anywhere else in creation, can separate you from God's love. It's not possible. Like Jesus said, who can rob a strong man except a stronger man? And his Father, our Father, is the strongest that there is. And since we are now placed inside of his loving hand, no one can separate us from him. No one can hurt us. No one can get to us. Though we go through things in life that may scratch us up a bit, that may leave us a little dirty or you know, prick us a little bit, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing can take it from us. And the best part, nothing can get rid of you. When it's your time to go, it's because the Lord himself appointed that time to be. And like the word tells us, there is no victory in death anymore. There is no sting in it. The grave can't do nothing to you, because as the Bible tells us, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. As Paul said, to live is for Christ. That's my life's meaning. It's my work. I don't care what I'm doing. If I can tell another person about Jesus, best believe that I will. And to die is to gain, because now I have the eternal life that he promised me. I'm here on duty until I can go to my permanent vacation, to be where he is, to be in my mansion that he personally is hand building for me. To enjoy the fruits of my labor that I put in down here, to enjoy all the gifts and treasures that he's building up for me. Just like he said, if you're so concerned about the stuff down here, well, yeah, this is the best you'll get. But don't be concerned about the things of this world. Turn your eyes, turn your heart toward the treasures of heaven, where the canker worms and the rot and the dust and the mildew and all the other gross stuff cannot get to it. Because God is eternal. All this stuff down here is finite. It breaks. It could be brand new and it could be broken, just like it's 20 years old. But we thank God so much that everything that he has for us is eternal. It is perfect in every which way. And that he is the one that is in control of our future, our destiny, and so on and so forth. So with that, that's it. That's what I got for you. Think about things from a different perspective. Don't be so close-minded. And most importantly, please do not grow a box God mentality. When you try to put God in a box, you limit your prayer life. You limit the things you can receive because you begin to put a limit on what God can do. And well, he's limitless, just like the movie. There is no logical way I could think to express what God just can and cannot do. He's capable of everything. He's not a man like you and me that he would lie, but that he is capable of all things. If he can get people like us into his heaven, and that's a rigorous, rigorous walk to take, well, I think we're good. So Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer just saying, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that when you talk to us, God, that when you speak to us, when you teach us a thing, that you always meet us on our level. You always come down to where we are. But most importantly, Father, that when you come to meet us to relay a message, to relay a word, you don't leave us where we were. Instead, you pick us up. You elevate us each and every time that we spend time with you, that we learn of you, that we're able to reciprocate what you've given unto us, to be more like you, Lord, to be a Christian or a Christian, as we'll say. Is to follow closely in the footsteps that you laid for us. For Lord, you made the foundation. You are the foundation. You came to be the way. You came to give us truth because you are truth. You came to give us life. And you came to give us a light, something of which that we could see in a very dark and bleak world. But now that you're here, Father, you are the light of the world. Anyone who would just be brave enough and humble enough to look toward the light would see that they don't have to be blind. That for anyone who cannot be saved, sadly, Satan has blinded them. He's pulled over a drape over their eyes. And God, for all of those who are still stuck in that bin, for them that have an opportunity to be able to come out of it, Father, we simply pray that they would. For once upon a time, we were all lost. Those of us who are currently saved, but we were blessed one special day to be able to see. And that when we were able to see, we never once looked back at the things we thought we lost, because the only thing we lost when we got saved was facing a very real hell. But God, we thank you so much that now that we're saved, now that we're set free, now that we're going through our sanctification process, we can grow and we can really grow. The things that we learn, the things that we go through, they'll actually stick to us and help us be able to help the next person out, to let them see just how good you are in every facet and situation of life. Because just like the Bible says, Father, we have never, and we mean ever, seen a righteous person forsaken. If anyone is called out onto your name truthfully, in spirit and in truth, just like you said we would, how we would worship you. That if we called out to you like that, that no one has ever been turned away. That anyone who cries, Lord, please help me, and truly means that, that Father, not only would they be saved, but that they would be set free. That the chains that were once holding us down, the weights that were breaking our backs in twain, they're no longer there, but instead we have your yoke and your burden, Father, which is easy and light to carry. You don't want much from us. All you want from us after we get saved is to continue to believe. Believe in you, trust in you, because you've never once led us astray. You never lead us wrong, God, but instead you only push us forward. You catapult us toward the blessed destiny that you created for us. And as we go through this life, as we stumble, as we make mistakes because we're not perfect, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for sparing us in the moments where sometimes we do deserve to be punished because we chose to do the wrong thing. But we thank you anyway for being lenient, Father, for helping us where we need it, for growing us exactly how we should be grown, and even more so for keeping us open-minded instead of trying to be closed off and rejecting those who actually need help. Father God, we love you so very much, and we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Lord, we ask that as we leave from this meeting tonight, but never from your presence, that you would just keep us wrapped up inside your love, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to teach us, to train us, to guide us, and show us the proper way in which we should go. That, Father, everything that we do in this life would be to bring you about praise, honor, and glory unto your name, because you so rightly deserve it. Again, Lord, we love you, and we just say thank you. It's these things we thank you for, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, family. I pray the lesson has blessed you in some way, shape, form, or fashion today. Each week, we hold Bible study on Zoom, and it would be wonderful to share this experience with you. If something was said that resonated with you, and you aren't a part of the family, I would like to open the invitation to join. I pray that the Lord blesses you in all of your endeavors and that you chase after the prize, which is Jesus. See you next week, God willing, and be blessed.